I can't imagine how Christ's followers must have felt. I can't fathom the heaviness of the moment. Jesus was gone. The teacher, the miracle worker, the one believed to be the Messiah had been taken from them. The innocent one had been condemned to death. It was surreal. The one that they called Lord had been crucified between two criminals. It was just 7 days earlier that Jesus had come into town to the cheers and praises of the people. They all thought that he would soon be crowned king, but how quickly things changed. The crowds that once eagerly applauded him just as quickly rejected him, and they called for his death. And for the followers of Jesus, there was a deep sadness and grief. They had lost the one that they loved so dearly. And for the followers of Jesus, surely there was anger and frustration. They had experienced a great betrayal and injustice. And for the followers of Jesus, surely there was fear and confusion. What would happen now that their leader was gone? Their whole world was upended. They had given up everything to follow the teacher, and now he was gone. And that image of Jesus hanging on a cross on that Judean hillside is an image that his followers would not soon forget. Who could have imagined that the one that they thought would be enthroned as king was now dead and buried and placed in a donated tomb? I can't imagine how they must have felt. Desperate, discouraged, downhearted, overcome with darkness and misery. I'm sure that they thought that the world as they knew it was over. They had been caught up in a tragic moment, a downward spiral of despair, and they had experienced the lowest of lows. Jesus was dead and buried. His followers were now all alone. But here's the deal. That was not the end of the story. The story did not end with darkness reigning victoriously. It did not end with Christ on a cross. It did not conclude with his body forever in a tomb. The story did not close with Christ's followers in hopeless despair. You see, Luke chapter 23 is not the final chapter in his gospel. Look in your Bible. There's one more chapter that was written, and it tells the story of the greatest turnaround in human history. Look with me this morning at Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. It tells the story of the resurrection of Jesus, the Easter story, the story of light shining through one of the darkest of moments. And we'll begin in verse 1. It says, "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus." Now, the first verse in the passage carries the story along, just as you might expect. The Sabbath had passed, and some women who were close followers of Jesus had gone to the tomb to prepare Christ's body for final burial. But then verses 2 and 3, they provide an unanticipated twist to the story. Upon reaching the tomb, they did not find what they expected. The stone that covered the entrance to the grave was rolled away. This discovery would have at first been considered a convenience because the women, they did not know how they were going to move the stone by themselves. But upon further investigation, there was more to be revealed. Not only was the stone rolled away, but the body of Jesus was not there. The ladies encountered an empty tomb. The body of Jesus was gone. The situation must have thrown them for a loop. You could add now to their deep-seated grief and sadness a, addition of shock and confusion. What's going on here? And just as the ladies began to wonder about the situation, some supernatural visitors appeared. Look at verses 4-5. They say, "While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead?'" The shocking circumstances of a rolled away stone and an empty tomb were intensified by the appearance of two angelic beings. Now, an angel is simply a messenger from God. So, what was the message that the angels wanted to deliver to these ladies? Well, with their clothes gleaming with light and with the women bowing down before them in fear, the angels asked a question. "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Now, this question must have caught the ladies off guard because they actually weren't looking for the living among the dead. They were actually looking for the dead among the dead. The women had come to prepare Christ's body for final burial. But before the women could answer the question, the angels continued their message. Look at verse 6. "He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Now, in an instant, the story took a turn. The atmosphere of despair and grief was reversed. The mystery of an empty tomb and a missing body turned into the celebration of resurrection. Wonder and confusion turned to joy and hope. These ladies were the first witnesses of the greatest miracle of all time. Jesus Christ resurrected to life. Jesus Christ conquering sin and death. The angels delivered seven beautiful words that changed everything. Look at them again. "He is not here. He has risen." What a powerful announcement from the angels. Jesus is not dead. He is alive. The tomb is empty. He has overcome the grave. Death could not hold him. He has risen. And with this announcement, the angels brought clarity to the situation. Jesus' body was missing, but it had not been stolen. He had risen from the dead. It's the greatest turnaround story that the world has ever seen. Against the backdrop of death and calamity, in the midst of great grief and sorrow, Jesus walked out of the grave and with him brought hope and life and joy. He overcame darkness with his light. And look at the rest of the passage. The angel, after his beautiful announcement, reminded the ladies that Jesus had actually predicted everything that had happened. The angel said, "Remember how he told you while he was with you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again?" And the ladies had a moment of insight. They remembered Christ's words. So the angels confirmed their resurrection message with a reminder of Christ's prophecy, and then they pointed out its fulfillment. Now, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, it tells us that Jesus, on several occasions, told his disciples that these very things would happen to him. And in this moment, with the angels prompting, the ladies had a moment of insight and they remembered what the Lord had said to them. Well, of course, this news of an empty tomb and a resurrected Savior needed to be shared with Christ's other followers. So look at verses 9-11 and see that scene. It says, "When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. The ladies returned from the tomb, and they shared what they had seen and what they had heard with Christ's disciples and the others who were with them. They told what they heard from the angels, but the disciples struggled to believe. They had doubt. This message was so startling that even the closest and most committed followers of Jesus were filled with doubt. Now, why was that? Well, think about it. This is such a contrast. It's such a turnaround that it seemed unlikely. It sounded like nonsense. Surely what the ladies were sharing was a hoax. There's no way that this could actually be true. Now, one of the disciples, Peter, had to see it with his own eyes. And in a reactionary moment, he got up and he hurried to the grave site. Look at the last verse of the passage, verse 12. It says this, "Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened." Now, Luke closes his story of the resurrection by focusing on Peter. Peter, the one who just hours earlier had denied even knowing Jesus three different times. Peter, who just minutes earlier considered the possibility of the resurrection to be nonsense. Now he stands in the empty tomb looking at the burial cloths left behind by the risen Christ. And in an instant, his world was turned upside down. The passage describes him leaving the tomb, wondering to himself what had happened. He marveled at what he had just witnessed. He was amazed by what he had seen. He was taken back by what he had heard and witnessed. And at this point, Peter was no longer in denial about Jesus. And he certainly no longer thought of the resurrection as nonsense. Now, at this point, Peter left the empty tomb knowing that death was not the end of the story. And check this out. In just a few days from this moment of Peter witnessing the empty tomb, Peter the denier would turn into Peter the proclaimer. Peter would become the leader of the New Testament church. He would be the church's first evangelist. He would be the first proclaimer of the gospel. And he would write these words about the resurrection, which are forever recorded in the scriptures. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. They say this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." Peter praised God for the power of the resurrection. He was a witness to the empty tomb. He stood where the body of Jesus was laid. He saw the abandoned grave clothes, and he understood that the death and resurrection of Jesus purchased something for us that can never be taken away. Christ offers us new life through his death, burial, and resurrection. Now think about that. Through faith and trust in Jesus, we can be reborn. By God's mercy, we can become a new person. When we believe in Jesus, we get a second chance at life. And we have the promise of spending eternity in heaven with him. It's an inheritance that can never be taken away. It will never perish or be destroyed. In the resurrection, we find hope. Hope is an expectation of something that we eagerly desire. And we have hope in Jesus. Hope that death, sin, darkness, and despair are not the end of the story. Hope of forgiveness and eternal life. Hope that isn't just experienced and forgotten. It's living hope. Continual hope. Everyday hope. Hope that's greater than our circumstances. Hope that's more powerful than our adversity. Hope that's deeper than our despair. Jesus offers us eternal hope that cannot be taken away. For those who place their trust, their faith in Jesus, he offers forgiveness and eternal life. For those who repent of their sins, who turn from their evil ways and believe in him, Jesus offers hope. And it can't be taken away by a disaster or a disease or even death. Jesus offers hope that is eternal and it can't be taken away. It won't perish. It won't fade or spoil. He offers hope that cannot be destroyed by calamity or misfortune. He offers hope that transcends a crisis or a cancellation. He offers hope that is more powerful than an economic recession or an unemployment line. It's hope that reminds us that no matter how much darkness we encounter, there's a promise of light on the horizon. It's a hope that looks at an uncertain tomorrow without panic. It's a hope that tells us that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because he is with us. Jesus offers eternal hope that cannot be taken away. Do you know Jesus? Have you embraced the hope that is found in him through his blood shed on the cross, through his resurrection from the grave? Have you personally come to a point in your life where you've turned from your sin and self and you've placed your faith, trust, and belief in him? If not, I want to encourage you to make that choice today. Make the Easter story your story. And go to him in prayer today and profess your belief and receive the hope of eternity. You know, we could all use some hope today. We all need to hear that sin, darkness, and brokenness will be defeated. We need to be reminded that sickness and death are not the end of the story. Maybe you felt hopeless in the last few weeks. Maybe tragedy has come across your path. Maybe your checking account or your calendar has been so upended that you feel chaotic in your life. Maybe the accumulation of cancellations and postponements has overwhelmed you with discouragement. I'm certain that on some level, we've all experienced some sort of despair or sadness in these current times. I just want to remind you, Jesus offers hope that transcends our current situation. It's a hope that sees beyond this life to the next. It's a hope that our broken world will one day be restored. It's a hope that what we experience in this life, the pain, the sadness, and the grief will one day be wiped away and we will inherit the life that Jesus has offered us. That's the Easter message. Darkness doesn't win. The brokenness of this world is not the end of the story. We believe that one day we will be made new and whole. We believe that one day we will graduate from the pain of this world. That one day we will leave behind our broken relationships and our broken bodies, and we will inherit new life in Jesus and spend eternity with him. I don't know about you, but the last month has created in me a hunger for heaven. I've found in me a thirst for restoration. I've found in me a yearning for Jesus to renew this broken world. Author Paul David Tripp said it this way, "Living in this present broken world is designed by God to produce longing, readiness, and hope in me." Can you identify with that longing? Do you have a hunger for heaven, a thirst for restoration? You know, sometimes a long period of darkness can create in us a hunger for the light. Sometimes a long winter can create a hunger in us for the warmth of the sunshine. And our present reality reminds us so much how we need the hope of Jesus. Would you pray with me? Well, Lord Jesus, we thank you that death and sin and darkness is not the end of the story. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you walked out of the grave and you conquered death. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for the eternal hope that that provides for us. Lord, we thank you for the security of that hope, that it cannot be taken away from us in these uncertain times. And Lord, it's my prayer that this Easter will remind us that there's light on the horizon. And Lord, that you, who wrote the greatest turnaround story ever, Lord, can do a powerful thing in our current calamity. Lord, I pray for peace for everyone watching this. I pray for those who don't know you, that today would be their day of being reborn, experiencing new life. I pray that you would draw them to yourself. Lord, I pray for our church, that we could be light in the darkness. Lord, I pray that you would use us to share hope in our world. Oh, we love you, Jesus, and we thank you that you are alive, that you hear us, and that you are with us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for being with us today, Fellowship. Happy Easter.